live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a 46-year-old man has been arrested in Derry by detectives investigating the murder of Lyra McKee in April. A cautious welcome has been given to the reopening of half of the beds at Letterkenny University Hospital's short-stay ward. Concern has been raised following the attempted theft of a number of charity boxes in Castlederg, and it's been revealed Donegal had the second highest number of dogs seized for livestock worrying over the past 5 years. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. But first to news, a 46-year-old man has been arrested in Derry by detectives investigating the murder of Lyra McKee in April. A number of items have also been seized following searches in the city this morning. Laura Donnelly has more.
The PSNI says its major investigation team carried out searches at properties in the Northland Road and Craigan areas of Derry this morning, and the 46-year-old was detained under the Terrorism Act and taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite for questioning. A number of items were also seized and taken for further examination. Detective Superintendent Jason Murphy said since Lyra McKee was murdered following violent disorder in Craigan on April 18th, their investigation has received widespread support from the community. However, he said they are still anxious to hear from anyone who has any information, either by dialing 101 or through the Crime Stoppers service.
A Donegal senator has given a cautious welcome to the reopening of half of the beds at Letterkenny University Hospital's short-stay ward. 10 of the 19 beds on the ward reopened at 8 o'clock this morning, with the remainder expected to open later this year, pending confirmation of funding from SEALTA. Senator Padraig McLaughlin is challenging the government to explain why it was announced last October that the ward would be brought back to full capacity. However, funding allocated from the HSC was only for 5 beds and support staff. He says this is by no means the end of the campaign to fully reopen the ward.
It is a cautious welcome. Last October, local minister Joe McHugh confirmed that all of the 20 beds at the hospital will be reopening. Fianna Fáil claimed that this was part of their confidence and supply budget deal. And of course, these two announcements followed months of campaigning by Sinn Féin members in Donegal, where thousands of people across Donegal signed the petition to reopen the 20-bed short-stay wards. We know this is crucial, but what actually materialised wasn't funding for 20 beds, but funding for 5 beds. And it's thanks to the SEALTA Hospital Group and the management of Letterkenny Hospital that they've managed to get additional resources reallocated to get 10 beds open. But it's not thanks to the government and it's not thanks to Fianna Fáil.
And we know that hopefully the remaining beds will be open now in the autumn, but again, it's left to SEALTA to fund this.
What we have here is broken promises. As I say, last October, Minister Joe McHugh came on Highland Radio and confirmed all the beds would reopen. 6 months on, senior management in SEALTA and Letterkenny Hospital confirmed they'd only got funding to reopen 5 beds. And thanks to them, they've managed through their efforts to get 10 beds open. So in recent days, we've seen political claims from Fianna Fáil and governments welcoming what is really the achievement of the people of Donegal and the management of Letterkenny Hospital and the SEALTA Group. We will keep fighting in Donegal for all 20 beds to be reopened. This crisis doesn't need to continue in Letterkenny. And what we need now is less of the false promises, less of the false claims, and more political delivery.
A protest against Donald Trump's visit to Ireland will get underway in Dublin this evening. Organisers say they want to send a clear message that the US president isn't welcome here. Stephen Murphy has more.
A huge balloon of Donald Trump dressed as an angry baby isn't the kind of thing you'd usually see in Dublin on a Thursday evening, but tonight a 26-foot blimp will be flown above a protest against the US President's trip to Ireland. Emily Duffy is from Uplift, which borrowed it from protesters in London, and explains what the point is.
To symbolise that a lot of Trump's policies are based out of a politics of immaturity, a politics of hate.
A small group of protesters have already started to gather at the Garden of Remembrance.
Mr. Trump is a racist and a sexist, and a climate change denier.
He's a very dangerous man. I think he really needs to be stopped.
Organisers are hoping for hundreds to turn up. Donald Trump might not be in the country by the time it kicks off, though. He's due back from France this evening and will stay at his golf resort in Doon Bay, County Clare, before flying to Washington tomorrow. Stephen Murphy at the Garden of Remembrance in Dublin.
The Dunloe Road outside Fintyne has reopened this evening. The road was closed for much of the day to facilitate a technical examination following a two-vehicle crash at around 8:30 this morning. It's understood that at least one person is being treated for serious injuries. No further details are available. Meanwhile, there are diversions in place on the road between Termin and Glenbeigh following a collision shortly before 4 o'clock this afternoon. Gardaí say the road is likely to remain closed for a time to allow the scene to be cleared. There are no reports of any serious injuries. It's been revealed that Donegal had the second highest number of dogs seized for livestock worrying over the past 5 years. Nationally, some 216 dogs have been seized by dog wardens and county councils between 2015 and 2019. Tipperary had the highest number of seizures with 66 dogs seized for worrying in the last 5 years. It was followed by Donegal with 45 and Galway with 33. News editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, Katrina Morrissey, says it's a very serious issue.
Donegal is one of the worst affected counties in terms of dogs seized by dog wardens and county councils for livestock worrying, which is typically sheep. There were 45 incidents where dogs were seized by the dog warden county council in Donegal, and that was the second highest in the country.
Do you feel that maybe there's an onus on dog owners to know where their pet is? In terms of how these incidents are happening, it really can be any sort of a dog that could attack sheep, really?
No, unfortunately, everybody thinks that my dog wouldn't do that. And I suppose the statistics would show and reports from farmers would show that anybody's dog can do this. Originally, I suppose dogs were bred to hunt. And when they get into that frame of mind, they obviously change from a pet to revert to their kind of natural instinct. And the damage that they can do is so severe to the animals, to the farmer in terms of his livestock and his income. You know, there are horrendous stories there of sheep being killed and also being injured and maimed and having to be put down later on. The advice to all dog owners would be keep it on a leash, and also obviously at home, you know, keep it in a secure garden. That has always been the advice and will continue to be the advice.
In terms of what happens to the dogs who have been seized, I mean, are some of them put down or are they returned to their owners? Like, what happens there?
As far as I know, it varies between county councils what their policies are. Some county councils will have a certain length of time before a dog will be put down. If it was claimed by an owner, I'm sure the prosecution route might be followed, depending on the farmer, if the owner of the dog is identified.
Concern has been raised following the attempted theft of a number of charity boxes in Castlederg. Yesterday morning, a group of young males stole a number of items, including charity boxes, from a shop in the town. Two of the alleged offenders were apprehended by two local businessmen before police arrived on the scene. A third male was subsequently arrested a short distance away by the PSNI. This follows the theft of charity boxes from a local church in recent times. Local councillor Derry Cossey has described the actions of those involved as despicable.
Several people were in a local shop and they attempted to steal charity boxes from the shop. I have to utterly condemn this type of action by anyone, and it does follow on a short while back when we had the despicable incident of charity boxes being stolen from our local chapel in Castlederg. However, on this occasion, the culprits were spotted, they were apprehended, and they were detained by a couple of local businessmen. Police were called, arrived, and effected the arrest of those who had attempted to steal the charity boxes. I do have to welcome and commend the very timely and swift action by these local people, in that they were able to subsequently present those who attempted the theft and attempted what can only be described as a despicable act to the lawful authorities.
And indeed, charity boxes are something that people give to in goodwill, so this is basically an attack on the whole community.
Absolutely. We all, with our change, when we're purchasing, particularly in our local shops, there's always boxes of all kinds sitting there. We drop change into those boxes to help others in their time of need. What has happened here is there was an attempt to take away much-needed resources from those who actually need them. For whatever purposes, we can't say at this time, but it is despicable that this sort of action would happen.
A public meeting is taking place this evening to discuss the possibility of widespread gold and metal prospecting in the vicinity of Glenfinn. An exploratory licence has been granted to Great Glen Resources, which could see exploration at up to 50 townlands in the area. A spokesperson for the company is stressing that at present no mining is involved, but the community says there's been a lack of information. The meeting is being held at Cumming National School this evening at 7:30. Michael O'Doherty is one of the organisers of tonight's meeting. He spoke earlier to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show.
Licences were being issued in four different maps, but they were all connected, and they were generally connected in the Bluestack Mountain area. At the end of the notice, there was an option to object to this, which meant that obviously if there was a need to object to something, there must be an issue there. The wording was loose as well. It said that the prospecting would be general, non-invasive. So I don't know how you can invade the ground without, if you stick a spade in the ground, you're going to invade the ground. And the other thing it said would be minimal environmental impact. Minimal is a very loose term, and minimal actually is too much to be an environmental impact.
Is most the concern here about what you don't know rather than what you do know, in that maybe the concern is filling the vacuum of a lack of information?
Well, basically, the vacuum is here. I mean, this was the Minister of Communications who issued this. I mean, nobody has communicated with the farmers or with the landowners or the people that live in the area. So, obviously, there's a lack of information. So local people are concerned, as you've just rightly said, to object. How did we do? How could we even do that? We weren't sure what the wording, etc., was to do. So we decided to. We've talked to a number of people. Decided to have a public meeting, public information meeting, mainly in Cumming, to allow people to come discuss their concerns.
The Locks Agency is appealing to the public to report any suspicious activity. It's after two illegal nets, approximately 50 metres in length, were seized during a patrol last night in the Foyle area. Seven locations across five counties have been searched by Gardaí investigating the suspected contamination of horse meat. The meat was intended to be exported. Niall Colbert reports.
Today's searches were carried out across Roscommon, Leitrim, Sligo, Westmeath and Kilkenny, where evidence was gathered from farms, houses and commercial premises. As well as an investigation into the suspected contamination of horse meat, Gardaí are also looking into the alleged tampering of ID, such as passports and microchips of horses, presented for slaughter in this jurisdiction. Officials from the Department of Agriculture assisted in today's multi-unit Garda operation. The department says it's the only competent authority which oversees the slaughter of horse meat in the Republic of Ireland. It says all equines presented to its approved plants are scanned for a microchip, which is then checked off against its passport. However, it says the onus of compliance with EU food safety regulations rests in the first instance with food business operators.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Check out the great range of Father's Day gift ideas for your dad in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 14 minutes past five, and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, the Republic of Ireland under-21s will look to make it 2-1 from 2 at the Toulon tournament this evening. Stephen Kenny's side take on Mexico's under-22s at 6:30 Irish time. Ireland started with a win over China on Monday, while Mexico, they defeated Bahrain. Cross Channel, has been reported today that Eden Hazard will complete his move from Chelsea to Real Madrid this summer after a breakthrough in talks. According to the Telegraph, the Belgian will be sold for £130 million in what will be one of the biggest transfers this season. The deal means the pensioners will make almost £100 million profit on Hazard, who they signed for £32 million from Lille in 2012. During his seven seasons in London, he scored 110 goals, won two Premier League titles, two Europa Leagues, the FA Cup and the League Cup. And Swansea's Daniel James is set to become Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's first signing as Manchester United manager. The Welsh winger is having a medical ahead of completing a €20 million switch to Old Trafford. On the pitch tonight, Virgil van Dijk believes tonight's Nations League semi-final between the Netherlands and England is partly mind over matter. After helping Liverpool to victory in the Champions League last weekend, he feels pretty much everyone will be suffering with the effects of a long campaign.
Ask anyone, both teams, if they are fully fit, then they're going to say not 100% because everyone has a full season behind them. But, there's a chance to play to win a trophy in this case.
Kick off tonight, 7:45. Portugal, they await the winners in the final. In the League of Ireland, the grind of the Premier Division continues for Fan Harps this coming weekend. The champions Dundalk come to Fan Park on Saturday night with an 8 o'clock kickoff. Harps will once again be down to a skeleton squad. Suspension hasn't helped matters this week, with Keelan McAleer and Sean Boyd both out. Manager Ollie Horgan says his players have to be more careful with officials.
The disappointing part from our view would be the, you know, concession or picking up of yellow cards for basically passing comments, and that's what's hurt us. With the two sendings off in the last few games, there are two yellow cards in each case, and you know they were avoidable. Let us voice our opinion on the sideline as opposed to there, because it's zero tolerance with the officials, and they're only waiting for someone to pass a comment and make it difficult for them to give you a booking and not what we did. And the two lads, you know, yeah, they know well that let us down in that manner, and they need to pull up their socks in that manner, or we'll be in more bother.
You hear more from Ollie on our website in the sports section, highlandradio.com. Gaelic games. Ulster champions Donegal and provincial favourites Tyrone lock horns on Saturday evening at Breffni Park. That's for a place in the Ulster final. Championship games are coming thick and fast on 2-week cycles. So is there time enough to alter the game plan to take on the beaten All-Ireland finals from last year? Here's Donegal manager Declan Bonner.
That's probably going to be a different type of match against Tyrone, and it's going to take an improved performance. I said it after Fermanagh match, it will take an improved performance, but I think that improvement is within the group, and as I say, it's going to take a squad effort, and the guys coming off the bench on Saturday evening is going to have a huge impact.
Different sort of game plan from that against Fermanagh. Is this quick turnaround, is that sufficient enough for you to change the game plan to go on the beaten All-Ireland finals from last year?
You have to, Oisín, and you know, okay, we were getting ready for over a period of 5-6 weeks to get ready to play against Fermanagh, and you know, that type of football where you come up against a big defensive cover, and you know, we had to work ways through that, and I thought the lads coped, to be quite honest. I thought, yeah, it took time, it took us 17 minutes before we got our first score. As I say, it's going to take an improved performance all over. It's going to be a different type of match. Will Tyrone be going really attack minded? They will, but they'll mix it up, you know. They'll use their defensive system, and they have their attacking system in place, and you know, they've done it really, really well over the last number of matches, especially towards the end of the National League. They were very, very impressive. So listen, it's a big test, there's no doubt. Tyrone are, as I keep saying, they're up there with the top couple of teams, so we've got to go there in the Breffni Park, we've got to get a performance, and that's the challenge that's ahead of us.
Declan Bonner there. 5 o'clock, so throw on time on Saturday with full coverage here on Saturday Sport. Moving on to golf, the RBC Canadian Open is the event taking place this week on the PGA Tour, and Shane Lowry had an excellent start to his competition. He shot a round of 64 to sit on 6 under par. He's leader in the clubhouse. He's joined there by Keegan Bradley and Nick Taylor. Bradley has played 15, Taylor has played 13 holes of their first round. Elsewhere, Rory McIlroy's 3 under through 16, Seamus Power's level after 14, Patrick Harrington's finished, he shot a 1 over par round of 71, and Graham McDowell tees off in about 20 minutes' time. In tennis, world tennis number one Novak Djokovic is through to his first French Open semi-final since 2016. That's after a straight sets win over German fifth seed Alexander Zverev. The Serb, who's chasing his fourth straight Grand Slam title, won 7-5, 6-2, 6-2 in the rain-delayed quarter-final. The 15-time Grand Slam champion will play Dominic Thiem in the last four. Thiem booked his place in the next round after a straight sets 6-2, 6-4, 6-2 win over Russian youngster Karen Khachanov. Earlier on today, there was a major shock in the women's singles as American teenager Amanda Asimova knocked out defending champion Simona Halep. The 17-year-old won their quarterfinal clash in straight sets 6-2, 6-4. She'll now face Ashley Barty in the last four tomorrow after Barty's 6-3, 7-5 victory over Madison Keys. Finally, for this evening in rugby, Israel Folau has launched legal action against Rugby Australia after his playing contract was terminated over controversial social media posts. Folau's four-year deal was cut short after an independent panel backed Australian rugby's governing body's position that the comments he made in April warranted a sacking rather than a fine or suspension. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news. In an update, Justin Gardy have confirmed that the Termin to Glenveagh Road has reopened following an earlier collision. It's claimed motorists in West Tyrone are facing unprecedented delays for an MOT test. Concerns have been raised by MLA Melissa McHugh on foot of representations from constituents who are currently waiting up to 2 months for an appointment at test centres in new buildings, Omagh and Enniskillen. The driver and vehicle agency says a number of steps are being taken to reduce waiting times. However, Mr McHugh believes they could be doing more.
The implications in that would have meant that to go on the road was illegal and that they weren't even covered by insurance. And it became quite apparent that this was a widespread problem because they had attempted to arrange the MOTs in quite a number of different centres. And instead of within what used to previously be a six-week period, they found that they were being given appointments maybe 2 months down the line. And I note now that as a result of our contact with the DVA centre and that they have revised that period. They say that it's now 9 weeks from when you should make application in order to ensure that you can have your car MOT in time before the existing MOT expires.
The DVA are saying that they are taking steps to reduce those waiting times. Do you think they could be doing more?
Well, I really do, and I appreciate the steps that they have taken. And I know they say that they're going to be looking at the appointment of more staff, both permanent and temporary, and that's to be welcomed. And they suggest even that in order to address the backlog and that they will have Sunday opening as well too. And I do think that in the interest of ensuring just the service provided to the public and to ensure people that the cars won't run out of MOT coverage prior to expiry date and the likes of it, that these steps should be implemented as soon as possible.
Letterkenny Institute of Technology is to benefit from a funding package to improve how teachers are trained to deliver courses in science, technology, engineering and maths. LYIT is one of 6 third-level institutions across Ireland to receive funding from Google and the EU, which is intended to support STEM education internationally. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The Educator Grants will support teacher training, while the EU Codeweek Grants support a European-wide grassroots initiative, which is intended to bring coding and digital literacy to as many people as possible in a fun and engaging way. Letterkenny Institute of Technology, TU Dublin and University of Limerick are 3 of 24 universities and non-profits across Europe and Africa which will share in €413,000 in funding under the Educator Grants. The funding will deliver workshops for 500 teachers on digital citizenship and online safety in the new computer science curriculum.
Weather now, bright or sunny spells this evening and scattered showers, some heavy with a risk of thunder. Winds will be mostly moderate, south or southwesterly, with lowest temperatures tonight of 3 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a 46-year-old man has been arrested in Derry by detectives investigating the murder of Lyra McKee in April. A number of items have also been seized following searches in the city this morning. A Donegal senator has given a cautious welcome to the reopening of half of the beds at Letterkenny University Hospital's short-stay ward. 10 of the 19 beds on the ward reopened at 8 o'clock this morning, with the remainder expected to open later this year, pending confirmation of funding from SEALTA. It's claimed motorists in West Tyrone are facing unprecedented delays for an MOT test. Concerns have been raised by MLA Melissa McHugh on foot of representations from constituents who are currently waiting up to 2 months for an appointment at test centres in new buildings, Omagh and Enniskillen. And a public meeting is taking place this evening to discuss the possibility of widespread gold and metal prospecting in the vicinity of Glenfinn. An exploratory licence has been granted to Great Glen Resources, which could see exploration at up to 50 townlands in the area. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 6th of June. The death has taken place of Patsy McCloskey, formerly of 40 Townsend Street, Strabane. His remains will repose at his sister Anne Neeson's home, 36 Knockavoe Crescent, Strabane, from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. The death has taken place of Douglas Hennessy, Trinity Court, Newton Cunningham, formerly of Marble Hill, Dunfanaghy. Memorial service will take place on Saturday afternoon in Holy Trinity Church, Dunfanaghy, at 2 o'clock. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Bill Arnold, Arnold's Hotel, Dunfanaghy. The death has taken place of Rosemary Doherty, née MacDade, the Hermitage, Greencastle. Her remains are reposing at her home with viewing this evening until 7 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Willie Alcorn, Glenalla, Rye, Rathmullen. His remains are reposing at his nephew Pat's residence, Glenalla Lodge, Glenalla. Funeral service in St Columbkill's Church, Glenalla, at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. House private, please. Family and friends welcome. And the death has taken place of Michael Gallagher, Ballinally, Moville, formerly of 98, Loch Ash, Dunamana. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Ardeevan Carndonagh, care of Liam Collins, funeral director, or any family member.